Okay, welcome back. We're part B of our lecture on training and development in our human resource management class. We're looking at the slide on career types. And so you can have a vertical career or a lateral career. So, Taylor, any thoughts on what the difference might be when we're talking about careers that are vertical and careers that are lateral? So, without worrying about what a textbook definition would be, if you have a vertical career, what's your career likely to look like? Moving upwards, yes, that's right. And so, an example of that could be that I'm now a senior lecturer, and maybe I might become a professor as the next level in the career ladder that goes. Or I might be a supervisor, and my next level will be a manager. So that's a vertical career. So the words here are saying, which is a traditional career path where an employee enters an organisation at a junior level and progresses upward to a more senior position over time. That's a typical vertical career. So when we start thinking about people's career types, most people are thinking, I'd like to have a vertical career where I'm going upwards all the time. That's most people, but not all people. Some people like to have their vision is more a lateral career.
Moving from different functions.
Yeah, staying at
Like in
the,
different
basically
roles.
staying at the same time. So it might be that their career is that I actually just want to stay put. And so they could stay put, or they could choose to take moves at the same level. So my career is I'm really happy being in sales. That is my career. I think I'm a really good salesperson. But I'm sick of selling houses. And I'm sick of working for this organisation. Just to make life interesting, my career is that I'd like to, over a period of time, work for different organisations. So I'd like to sell houses now, and I've already done the selling car thing. I'm overselling cars. But maybe I might give selling life insurance a go. And that's an example of a lateral career, a career path where an employee may undertake some lateral moves, often in different functions, instead of moving upwards in an organisation. And so, as we're trying to maintain people's careers in our organisation, what sort of careers are people actually seeking? Are they seeking to stay at the same level, or are they seeking to have a vertical career where they've got more responsibility and maybe more pay or whatever it is as well? Not everyone wants a vertical career, and I think that's the point that we're trying to highlight here. Don't assume that everyone wants to be the boss, ultimately, because some people just want to do what they're doing, but maybe do it in different ways. Another concept is having marketable skills, skills that are valued by the employer and can be used elsewhere as well, so you can use with other employers. So I would imagine, Taylor, that you've got a number of skills that are desirable by a number of different employers, just the nature of your personality and your experiences that you've got to date. And that'd be the same for everyone in this class. I'm singling out Taylor here because she's the one student listening to this recording, just in case other people are saying, what about the other students? Why is he only talking about Taylor? It's only Taylor and myself in here at the moment. And so, yes, so what are the skills that the employer finds attractive about these particular employees? And so each of us need to make sure, if we want to get jobs, that we have got some skills and knowledge that employers want. And that's what we're talking about here, employability. Having some skills that employers want or attractive to employers, skills, knowledge. And so by doing your Bachelor of Business is an example of increasing your employability. You've got something else that is attractive to employers. If you are someone who had no work experience, had no qualifications in anything, you're less attractive to employers. If you're someone who is not a very good natural communicator, or you don't naturally have very good written or verbal communication skills, again, you are less attractive to employers. So our job is, what can we do to work on our communication skills? What can we do to, if that's what employers want, what can we do to work on our literacy and numeracy, if they're basic skills that we need? We need to be able to write reports, we need to write emails, we need to sit down in meetings and make decisions and talk about them. You know, these are core skills that we need, and if we don't have those skills, does an employer really want us? So what is our employability? Do we have some marketable skills? Here's just a slide on some various career myths, just a slide just to ponder on yourself. I'm not going to talk to it. But I will talk about the slide that talks about human resources responsibility. What is the responsibility of HR in terms of careers and career development? So one of our responsibilities is to provide career education information, guidance about vocations and careers, career counselling, and on-the-job opportunities, and to give people some career options. So one of the reasons why a lot of people leave organisations is that HR don't, or when I say HR, maybe I should say organisations, and that includes HR, organisations don't provide these things. Particularly, organisations are often very bad at providing a clear career path for their employees. And that is one of the reasons why a lot of employees leave the organisation, because they say, I don't think I've got a career in this organisation. If I stay in this organisation, I'm never going to be able to fully use my qualifications. I've heard that one before. I've gone off and I've done this degree, and I'm trained to do this, but they're only giving me these duties. And if I never get a chance to have these higher level duties, using my skills and qualifications that I've gained, I better leave. And so that's why we've got to provide information of showing people, well, if you stay within our organisation, you've come here with a Bachelor of Business and you've majored in accounting or human resource management or whatever, for example, you can have a career in our organisation, and this is how it's going to work. Usually for the first year, we get you involved in these sorts of things, then providing we feel that you're working to the standards that you need to, we'll then move you on to more responsibility, giving you more specialised projects in your area of business or whatever it is. And then from that, we're going to need people that lead teams and so forth. And then if you're one of these people that have demonstrated that you can do that, we're then going to invest in you in supervisor and management and leadership training and so forth. And then from those people, you've then got the opportunity to be considered for international projects and various other parts within our... And so then people start thinking, oh, yes, I have got a career in this organisation. How do we help people see that there's a career in the organisation? How do we actually plan to make sure that they've got a career at the same time meeting the needs of our organisation, fulfilling what we're all about and our strategic direction and plans? There's an aspect of career counselling. So career counselling is sitting down with people and helping them plan their careers. Because some people might not know what they want in their career, and so you can actually help shape their careers within your own organisation. Unless you're the sort of person that acknowledges, or you're the sort of organisation that acknowledges that, hey, there's going to be a certain point that we can't cater for you in your career direction. But until that point, we want to invest in you and value you, and we want you to contribute here and so forth. But we acknowledge that there's going to be a point where we can't. That point might be in 5 or 6 years, but I think there's a lot we can do together in the meantime. So chatting to people about their careers, helping them plan their careers is very important.
Mm. All the counselling for career, knowing what subjects to take to the right pathway.
Yes.
And yeah, helping them like starting at the early stage instead of like learning everything or don't learn anything at all. And
yeah.
Then they come to a stage where, oh, I want to do that, but I didn't do that subject before. Yep. And now I have to go back to college to do everything again.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. No, it's good. It's good if they can start that career counselling with people while they're still at school. I think that's a great thing.
Because it's happened to me at high school.
Yeah.
High school, my school introduced it quite early.
Yeah.
To have a special like, counselor for career and talk to you about what you think you wanted to do for your career, and then this is other options.
Yeah. There's a bloke called Bloom who's come up with a taxonomy, or let's just think of it in terms of model. He's come up with a model. It's a fancy word there.
What's his name? Is Bloom?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think. I think it might be Victor. Victor Vroom. Anyways, it's called Bloom's taxonomy. And he's got this model which he categorises learning into three different areas, or he calls them domains. The psychomotor, the cognitive, and the affective. And by psychomotor, he's talking about, you know, what are the specific tasks that you can actually do, or skills that you can acquire. That's the psychomotor. So I can now physically change a tire. That's a psychomotor thing. Cognitive is what's the change that's happened in your mind. You know, so cognitive is what goes on in the head. So what cognitive learning? And so there's been some sort of changing in your cognitive processes, the way you think and what you know in your mind. And affective, he's talking about changes in your attitudes, values, beliefs, those sorts of things as another category of learning. So I think they're quite straightforward categories, and it's a way of categorising learning. So we're going to focus on skills-based training, so that's psychomotive. Or we're going to try and get people to know some more stuff about this, that's cognitive. And we want people to culturally accept the values of our organisation, and so that's affective. Here's just some more terms to talk about. One, we know what performance is, and we often talk about, you know, how has the training impacted on someone's performance? Has it gone up, for example? Another term in terms of career development is, what is someone's exposure to, for example, senior management? And we might say some people have got more exposure to senior managers, so they have more career opportunities just because they seem to be in the manager's eyes more. So that's a term that we often talk about in terms of career development. What's their exposure to certain people and because certain aspects of the process, certain functions? People who are blessed with the exposure to a senior manager, for example, might be in a better position to be considered for career development. So we just got to be mindful of that. Another term we talk about is the employer's reputation. Another one we talk about in the concept of career development is nepotism. What is nepotism?
Never heard of
the term. a nepotistic employer might promote their friends and family. Okay, so there's a bit of nepotism going on here. Ah, okay, so-and-so is a friend of the boss. That's why he got the job. That's nepotism. Or his son-in-law got made the head of that section. So that is a term that is sometimes talked about in terms of career development. You know, they're quite a nepotistic employer. In other words, they know the boss. They've got family members getting the promotions, whatever it is. Another term is ingratiation, and that's where people are trying to form a good image with the people that are likely to give them a promotion. And so people actually intentionally work hard at, in Australia, we sometimes use the word sucking up. I don't know if you know that, if you come across that term, but they're intentionally trying to form a good image with their boss so that when the boss considers, oh, who will I promote? Ah, they immediately think of that person. Oh, because that person's always so friendly to me or whatever it is. Always willing to do all those things that I ask them, which is things that a lot of us just naturally do anyway, but there's an element of doing it because they want the promotion maybe. Development, and so we talk about how we're going to develop people so that they can move forward in their careers. That's one of the terms that we talk about. International experience is another term that we talk about. Some other factors related to the people's career development is language skills. Some people might have various language skills, whether it be good English skills required to do the job, or whether it's bilingual language skills or multilingual language skills. People need to be able to speak Indonesian, French and English to be able to perform well in certain roles. And so we might help people develop their language skills, particularly if it's another language. Or maybe we might assist people to improve their English if English is not their first language and they need to be able to use their English skills. Other skills such as keyboarding skills, networking is an important one for career development as well. A lot of people will form networks, whether it be LinkedIn or attend certain events through their professional networks and associations, just to try and enhance their careers. It might be that they move out of one organisation into another because they've networked with some people that see the potential in them and give them a job. Goal setting and appearance, there's some other factors as well. Some other terms in relation to careers. Some people's careers plateau. They flatten. And so they've reached a certain point and they can't seem to get any further in their career. And that's a natural thing. Not everyone can be the chief executive officer or the general manager. So there's going to be a point for a lot of people that even though they might have high aspirations where their careers do actually plateau, they might want it to go vertically still, but they find that it's plateaued into a more lateral career. Some people's career experience meltdown and they can't cope. And that occurs when an employee's career commences in a downhill spiral, typically characterised by being terminated, demoted, being bypassed for promotion, being marginalised for various reasons. Some people's careers go in meltdown. And hopefully that doesn't happen to anyone we know or care about. But that is part of what can happen to people's careers. Some people's careers are in transition. And so maybe they're involved in a transfer, a demotion, a promotion, an overseas assignment, or switch from an occupation to another. So we use the word their careers are transitioning from one career to another, or one job to another, one employer to another. Dual careers, sometimes we'll use this term in different ways, but the most common way we talk about dual careers is when you've got husband and wife, for example. Both have different careers and aspirations, so dual careers. I've also heard the term dual careers used where someone simultaneously has two careers going. So, yeah, that's it. And so whilst the dot point here is talking about both husband and wife, for example, or both partners having career responsibilities and aspirations, that's one way in which people talk about dual careers. People also talk about dual careers as an individual having more than one job. And this term outplacement, special assistance given to terminated employees to help them find jobs with other organisations. So we might be saying, look, we no longer need people to work on production because we're changing it all to technology and we need people with a different skill set, and unfortunately that's not you. But we are going to actually help you get a job with another employer. And we've identified someone who's willing to take people on from our organisation that's lost their jobs. So special assistance. We might give people special assistance to help find a job with another organisation. Another concept that we talk about is work-life balance. We've talked about that previously. That's an important concept. I won't explain it again because we've talked about it before, but I will talk about downshifters. Some people do choose to work less, maybe work with less responsibility, and that might resolve in less income and they might spend less, but that's an intentional choice. Often it's a lifestyle choice. And I've seen that in many people's lives, including my own, where I have decided not to work at a very high level, but instead to choose a different level. I've worked as CEO of an organisation before on a much higher income, but I've actually chosen not to do that as my career. I actually really enjoy lecturing. And running my own business as well. And so people will sometimes choose to reduce intentionally their level of responsibility in their careers as part of a lifestyle choice. And that's what we call the downshifters. And related to this one where we talked about meltdown, can be flame out track. A situation where employees work to excess. So initially they're working very, very hard, they make lots of money, they acquire lots of assets, and then they quit altogether and say, I'm done, I've had enough. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so just to wrap up training and development, job analysis is really important at the beginning of the process to understand the job, understand what people can do. Training can actually fill the gap. Individuals, we all have careers that we plan and want for ourselves, but as an organisation, we also have a strategic plan, and so we need to manage people's careers in such a way that they see that they do have a career within our organisation. So that forms part of our planning. We need to plan for people's careers in our organisations. We need to put in place training and development activities so that people can ongoingly develop themselves for now and also in the future. And people learn in a lot of different ways, and there's a lot of different ways of delivering learning. So that's the end of training and development, and this will now be placed onto Canvas.